Okay, so.
Are we starting now?
Yes, we are starting now.
Awesome.
I just hit the record button.
Sweet.
Yep, this is, we're the guys from 4 Plus Tough. I'm Caleb.
And I'm Greg.
Yeah, fuck you.
All of that stuff we were talking about what not to do, we just did all of it in like the first 10 seconds. All
right, stop the recording.
Oh, no, we're keeping this. Let's just go.
This is okay. This is a material.
All right, so Greg, I'm Caleb.
I'm Greg.
I'm Michael. Greg, what's your name on the blog, though?
My name on the blog is P. Grexy. You can see the similarity.
You were the one.
I'll refer to myself as Greg, my given name, instead of my internet given name, which I gave myself.
Oh, that's how it works.
Yeah, he was the clever one that came up with a name and didn't just use his real name.
You gave me that name.
I think I did.
You were like, I played against Tyrant Greg Saris in one of your early battle reports, and I rolled with it.
Back in the day when it was you doing the vlog.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was known as Stick Stones and Warpwolf Bones. Anyway, we're going to go through Gargantuans. And talk about
Gargantuans. I think they should have called the book Gargantua, like that other book that was called Gargantua. Anyway.
In case there's any confusion at this point, we are not podcasting professionals. But really, that should have been clear within, 5 seconds of when we started.
Right.
Right. Anyway, we're going to go through it. We're going to give our, 2 cents on it, 1 cent on it. I don't know how much any of us have left. And kind of, at the end, maybe go through the fluff as well. So, we'll start off right off the bat, because its framework is nice, with Trollbloods. I'm the Trollblood player here. So let me tell you, we ended up a lot better than I thought we were going to be. The Mountain King came out, I took one leg at it and went, meh. I have the model, but meh.
You've played with it, right?
I have, a couple times. I've lost horribly in 2 35-point games with it before I realized that was a dumb point level, switched to 50 points, and narrowly lost 2 games with it. But
nice.
I'm slowly learning how to do it, and I'm slowly finding that certain Warlocks are a lot better at it than others. It's also basically 20-point model that is easily fixed with 2 10-point models that will actually do more. So the Earthborn Bomber together kind of do a little better on the field than it does. So you really have to try to make use of it in a very specific way. So, since we started on that, we'll just go straight into the Gargantuan first. So, it's... I don't know. I like the model. The model is, I think, the best-looking Gargantuan. It's fantastic. I've spent a lot of time assembling it. It's nowhere near painted. So, it's a great model. Props on the model. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5 on the model. So, the rules itself, it's a little more hazy with. It seems like it's like halfway through beta testing, and there's something missing that would make it really good, but it doesn't quite get there. What do you guys think about that?
I mean, I think that the Mountain King has... I've played against it a couple times, or I've played against it really once. It did a good amount of work, but it was like supported by every other model in the army. I think that, based on one game's experience, what really kills it and what the opponent was really fixing with it was Mat 5, because the way the army supported the army was full of knockdown. Mountain King basically never had to make an attack roll, and it really shouldn't be having to make attack rolls against anything higher than, Def 12 with his mat, which is, really kind of mopey. That's its biggest problem. It does have, or I've heard that it has, a hit point shortage. What does it have, mid-40s hit points? I don't know. I'm not going to count.
Give or take. It has a little less than 50.
Yeah, but the player who was playing that list was playing Epic Gristle and, like, you know, kept the Mountain King up at armor 23 except for, like, one turn where he could have had it to 25. It didn't work out that way. But, like, 23 is a really good number to keep your Gigantuan alive. But, like, you know, a lot of the army was going into scoring the Mountain King and not doing much else. And that is what it took to make it work. And, you know, I had a chance to kill it, even so. The dice just weren't with me.
Yeah. So the stats are, I think, the biggest problem. And this has been, if you ever look at the Trollblood forums, this has been thrown around to death and back. How would you fix it? People go overboard. I honestly think just being conservative about it, the only thing it needs is probably 6 or 7 more hit points, maybe as high as 10 if you want to go that far, and then Rat and Matt at 6. I really think that is all it needs.
Rat
and it would be
6 is really good. Like, you don't see a lot of heavies with Rat 6.
Well, trolls have a lot of heavies at Rat 6, or at Matt 6. Well, we have no... Rat 6
say,
is a little bit high.
No. Matt 6 should have... I'm boggled that it has as low a Matt as 5. That's like Mark 1 Warjack low. Rat 6 is pretty rare.
That's fair. And at the same time, its Deathly Roar is kind of like... It's halfway between being something that's really required for it to work, because it's got a lot of support for it in Killshot. But at the same time, with this sitting at it, is this Rat 4?
5.
Or 5. It's... I think, really, to make the thing work, it needs to be a little bit higher. Trolls don't have a lot of ways of boosting Rat. They have a lot of ways of boosting Matt.
That's interesting. You have a Warlock who says otherwise now.
Oh, right.
That's true, yeah. You should try Mountain King with Epic Grim.
Or something good with Epic Grim.
That's a good idea. Yeah, but otherwise...
Like anything but the Mountain King.
Yeah, so... Reframing, as I said, I think it's a great thing. I think it can be useful. But its Animus is okay. I was particularly annoyed that Circle got that on an extremely useful beast, and we got it on a big, giant beast that... Why is it casting its Animus when it can just walk up and hit things? So...
I mean, if it can walk up and hit things...
Well, yeah, but Amok on something that can fly over, like, 8 to 10 inches of something and just beat the crap out of them, and then Amok on...
We're not
on
Circle.
King.
We'll get there. It's beautiful. But, I know we're in Hills.
Yeah, so, long story short, Mountain King, good.
Really?
Not great.
That's not at all what we came to.
Well, it's okay. It's not anything great, and the problem is, what that means is that it can easily be replaced by Mulg.
Got it.
And so, that's not what trolls needed, and honestly, Mulg or the Earthborn are better than it at a lot of things. So,
well,
I don't
Mulg
think
it's... Mulg hits just as hard as it. Oh, sorry.
So, yeah.
Cool.
But, moving on to the next part, what was the next thing? The Night Troll. The Night Troll is really good.
Really?
I'm maybe crazy on that, but I'm digging what it brings to the table, especially with Paralysis.
I mean, it looks amazing. Like if a troll were a really big fan of Kiss. But seems kind of slow and inaccurate if you're using it for Paralysis. But I haven't used it, and I have no troll players in my meta anymore, so everything I say on this is just conjecture.
Yeah, but the big thing about it is it's 4 points. The only other troll that's 4 points is the Swamp Troll. The Swamp Troll is okay, but not a lot of people use it because it's really only good at pulling little things in with that tongue, and otherwise it's kind of eh. Night Troll has got a lot of other stuff going for it. So, mainly, stealth. So, stealth on a beast is awesome.
Yeah, stealth is a thing. I will say that, speaking as someone who has, like, an accuracy 4 creature doing a lot of paralysising, that being the Kriya, it happens. You know, you boost your attack roll, and you have about a 50-50 chance of hitting a Def 15 model. A lot of casters fall into that range. The dodgier heavies that you really don't want to throw... forces into boosting to hit them with your heavies are Def 14, so it's really nice to be able to, like, zap them with a paralysis. I don't know how well that translates to melee, but it is really solid on the Kriya.
But you're not using the Kriya... You're not bringing the Kriya for paralysis.
Oh, well, yeah, no, I'm not. I'm bringing it for the delicious aura.
Well, yeah, the other thing about the Nitro would be okay at 4 points with that, but its Animus is actually quite nice. It forces warrior models to move directly towards him. And so that can be really nice, especially on certain things like Borka, because it's ranged self. Borka could cast it on himself, force you to get near him, and then just back the heck away, and then now there's a whole mess load of guys just sitting right in front of you.
I do think it's like a pretty good jam bomb, too, especially for some of the like more elite living infantry. Living only is like, because like a lot of the infantry that you really want to like jam with a 4 point sacrifice are something that starts with a B and rhymes with Banes.
Yeah. Well, trolls also have force lock for that, and so this is kind of another avenue of that. I think it would work really well on, say, an E Doomy tier list, and it could be nice for that. And so I'm actually impressed with the Night Troll, and I'm more impressed the more I look at it, and I'm willing to give it a shot.
Okay.
So I'm liking that about it. Your guys' opinions kind of overall?
I'll have to wait until I run up against it. I think it has potential. I am not sure that that potential is going to justify displacing another light. I think it would have been good as a heavy, like something that can take a counterpunch, especially with a Creel Stone nearby. But as it is, I'm intrigued. I won't discount it.
I'll discount it. Or, I think it's the fact that it doesn't have open fists, I think, kind of kills it for me.
Ooh.
If it had open fists, then I'd be willing to accept that it has, like, paralysis but isn't very accurate, or in beguile but isn't very tough. Because then you can also use it as, like, a power attack thing. But it doesn't have that, despite having wicked, wicked claws. I don't know. I like things that have stealth, but I don't like things that are speed 5 and have no reach, so.
That's fair. See, next up, we'll save Epic Grim for last, so Warders. I have stated several times, and I completely plan on buying a whole unit of Warders when they come out. I like the cut of their jib.
I like them too. Even though I don't like things that are, I just said I like things that are fast. I think that trolls have enough infantry support to make these guys pretty sweet. And they're 8 points for 10. Or, 8 points for 5. Sorry, I was thinking any other faction.
Right, and that's like bargain for heavy infantry.
For weaponized infantry.
They are basically champion stats. Like, they're the champions, but instead of being 6'10", they're 5'8". They lose an attack, and they lose a point of speed, but they gain a point of arm, and they get battle rune. And reach, which they sadly needed to begin with. I think it's a great take on champions. I think I like just about everything about them. They are the heavy infantry that I've always wanted to go up against the Trident. So
I think they'll be good with Epic Grizzle. God, now I'm seeing good with Grizzle.
I think they'll be good with Grizzle as well.
Grizzle is like the thing on like meat that is too chewy.
That's Grizzle.
Well, yeah, that's what you guys call her.
That's fair.
I've only read it. I still say Cador, even though I know better.
No, Cador's correct.
Yeah, but regardless, I think they're one of the best things that trolls got in this book, so I'm putting them up at the top of my list of great things.
Okay.
So my only complaint was that I kept hearing all this stuff. It's like, oh, they're champions, but they've got other stuff, and I look at them. And they're not champions, which means that you can't take champion hero with it. But
they're not, like, technically champions, I see what you mean.
Yeah. So everybody was saying, oh, they're going to be a different take on champions. Well, they are, but they don't have the champion rule, which means you can't combine it with champion hero. Which, you know, I'm not really complaining. So that was just kind of my, oh, I was looking forward to that, and, oh, they don't have it. So there's even less reason for me to buy a champion hero anytime soon. So moving on. Next up, I think, is Solos. So Fenblade Kithkar. Pretty good. Righteous Vengeance, hard, commander, unyielding, gives... Oh, what does he give them? Gives tactician. Them tactician. So, pretty good mat. Like, just normal mat. 2 points, which is great. I think he's got either 5 or 8 hitboxes. I don't have the book with me.
He has 8.
Yeah.
He has mat seven, by the way.
He does have mat. Never mind.
That's not normal. Or trolls are really spoiled. One of the two. I don't think trolls are very spoiled.
it's not normal, no. But yeah, mat seven, two weapons, better armor than a Fenblade, which is to say he's not going to die to a lot of stuff very quickly. So armor 15 is very nice. As a 2-point, and he's got the biggest thing with him is he's got commander. Before trolls, the only commander we had was the champion hero, which is good, but he didn't fit into a lot of lists. This guy's 2 points, he's got commander, and so the way that Fenblades just work fantastic with burrowers, and I'm definitely going to see it, like, there's even more reason to take him if you've got burrowers. So he helps them out immensely. And Tactician on Fenblades is just kind of icing on the cake. I don't think he's going to kill a lot of stuff. He's not like a Fellcaller or a champion hero. He's a lot more support, but I think he's going to be a nice addition.
Would you take him without the Fenblades if Tactician is kind of a nice but not what you're bringing him for?
If I were taking Burrowers, he'd be at the top of the list.
All right.
But like the only thing I'm bringing him for in that case would be as a commander. I think the champion hero has a lot more potential just to be just flat out more aggressively obnoxious because it's almost a light in itself because it has Thresher. So it's got Thresher, it's got Weapon Master, it's got higher map. No, it's got the same map.
They can go really far. He's speed 6.
Yeah, the Fenblade can run like crazy. The champion hero, though, like, if you're going to run a Fenblade, this guy into combat, you're going to want him backed up by a whole lot of Fenblades. So if you're not taking Fenblades, I think he's a 50-50 choice, but still not a bad option if you need a commander for Burrowers. Because Burrowers really need it. So, Greg, what do you think?
I mean, I think he is just solid, even if you don't have Fenblades. Tactician is nice on Fenblades because they like to charge for a really long distance. It's also great because he can Righteous Vengeance through them, pretty sure. But, yeah, for 2 points, he's solid. I would consider him for 3, even, just because he is, you know, arm 15, unyielding, access to the Creel Stone, 8 hitboxes, and tough, with 2 POW 13 reach weapons on mat 7 model. He's just, like, a really solid profile, and 2 points is pretty cheap for him. Commander's great, like you said. Especially, I don't know, I haven't fought against Burrowers yet, but, you know, I'm not looking forward to it, especially now that I can't frighten them as well.
Nice. Okay, next up, Michael's hated model, I suspect, the Sorcerer.
I'll get into it why I don't care, but you do your thing first.
Yeah, the Sorcerer, I think, is something nobody was expecting, and all of a sudden, boom. Adjunct is nice. It's the ability to have attach something else onto the stuff. It's a nice support model. It's got a nice magic attack, just in case you need it against that stuff. The stuff that's got, that brings, like, oh, what am I thinking of? Incorporeal, that brings things like that. It's got Winter Storm. It's got Ice Bolt. There's even less reason to take Linus Arissal against Legion, but, you know. It's got a lot of the same stuff she has, but it's an adjunct, which means it can stick around a unit, and it can drop enemy spells. That's a big thing. Like, there's, like, with, say, big things like champions, I can easily see this guy getting attached pretty quick, because one speed debuffing spell and trolls are kind of crippled. And without Mulg or certain casters around, it's a little bit difficult to get rid of those annoying upkeep spells that just stick around. So I think he's a very welcome addition, especially for 1 point. So I think he's not going to make it into every list, especially stuff that's got P-Doomy or other ways to get rid of it. But he fits a niche, and he's well looked for. So, Michael.
Okay. It is nice to have upkeep protection for 1 point that also does a lot of other things. The problem is that it's not Vanishing Ward. So if it's Parasite or Curse of Shadows, a purely, like, offensive, you are going to die faster debuff, I generally don't leave those on for too long. The intention is I tag you with it, and then I kill you. And then, you know, there probably aren't going to be enough survivors to make it worth upkeeping the spell anyway. It's really for a Crippling Grasp. I'll just Crippling Grasp something else. You probably have a Heavy. But it doesn't say, you know, don't crippling grasp this unit if you're not going to immediately follow up on it. It's not bad, I just don't. It's not like, oh man, trolls are going to be super tough now. Also, I don't have any trolls in my meta, so.
Hey, Rick? Yeah, no, it's good for a point. It's, like, sweet. It, you know, speed debuff upkeeps are not common, but they definitely hurt. They hurt Scorn a lot. I remember the mopiest of bronze backs shuffling along at 1 inch per turn. Or no, he should have been, but he was. But right. I don't know if this guy attaches to units, but
it's only units, so yeah. You can't protect your well, heavies.
Sad face. But yeah, champs. I feel like any army that invests a lot of points into one unit is going to like him, and he's just a point. Which is a good filler. If it came down to this guy in Swamp Gobbers, I'd be leaning towards this guy in a lot of cases.
Yeah. I also think, having just gotten Creel Warriors, that he's going to be a great addition to Creel Warriors because, you know, they needed more. That was sarcasm.
But I mean, you're putting a lot into, like, if you're investing in the UA and, like, 2 to 3 cabers, like, you really want to protect that investment. From being like, no, your speed is gone.
Yeah, and the whole, the ability to just deny Pathfinder, Is it Pathfinder?
No. It is Pathfinder. It's Isle of Sight, Flight, and Pathfinder.
Yeah, so there's certain areas, like, I think it allows trolls to, especially, like, Creel Warriors or Fenblades, to really tar pit even better, because you can't just sneak around them.
Except... it seems that begin their activation in this model's command.
Ooh,
if you begin your activation within 8 inches of an Angelius, it can kill you. And it doesn't care, unless, like, there's an impassable wall between you. Or something else can kill you first. And then the Angelius can just fly away.
That's a good point. So, anyway, I think it's an interesting addition. I don't think it's overpowered. I think it's...
It's solid for 1 point. It's really solid for 1 point.
Yeah. And I think if your local meta has a problem with it, trolls are going to just love it. So, if it fits what you need, then it is the bee's knees. The cat's pajamas, as it were.
Yeah.
Oh, my. All right, our promises.
Yeah. That's that. Finally, Grimm.
Yeah, Coven of Liars.
That's true. All right. Let's do it. Grimm.
I like Grimm. Grimm is interesting. He actually has changed quite a bit from his previous incarnation. He's still got a lot of the same stuff, but the way they interact is quite a bit different. So Mirage is very interesting. I can see a lot of use for that, especially with, like, bigger units that need to kind of get better lanes. Mage Sight is just amazing. There's no reason I would not be taking Pig Bushwhackers. I mean, I love Bushwhackers, but this guy takes them to whole new levels. Mage Sight especially is just, oh, you hiding over there. Get rid of everything preventing me from shooting you. Yay! Or even charging you, if you wanted to chuck it that way. It doesn't require a line of sight. You can put it anywhere. Mage Sight is a great spell. Pursuit? I'm a little more hazy on Pursuit, mainly because I haven't read the rules on it too much.
There are a couple casters with Pursuit, and I would say that on none of them is Pursuit really a game changer for them. If you see the opportunity for it, go ahead, but it requires, like, one step more thinking than Admonition does.
So, yeah, I can see, like, yeah, casting an enemy model, if it advances after the advance is completed, one of the models casts a battle group, but also can only make full advance. That is less useful. It's kind of useful if you just have something that you put out in front that you don't want to die to the first, like, to the big nasty heavy. But there's lots of ways to go around that.
You have to put it on their big nasty heavy.
Yeah.
Which is the problem. Why Admonition is so much better.
Yeah. But Mortality, fantastic. That is really nice. It keeps some of the stuff that he has in his original feat, and then it can debuff Death, which trolls do need every now and again. And it throws in an arm debuff, which is great. So prevents tough, prevents self-sacrifice, prevents regeneration. I think it even prevents snacking.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So, like, anything it does, it just debuffs the crap out of whatever it's targeted. And that's a nice spell to have. It's got a lower range, I think. It's only range 8?
10.
Nope.
Oh,
it's 10.
Oh, it's a little better than I thought it was. So, yeah, this is his bread and butter spell, I think, that'll be used a lot more than anything else. So, put it on the big enemy unit coming in. Just watch as they get destroyed. So, I think it's fantastic. I think his feat just makes me want to run a troll gun line even more. It even makes me want to run scatter gunners with him, but I'm very well aware that. Well, actually, scatter gunners would be okay with him. I kept trying to find a way to use scatter gunners, but I think he'd be okay with him. He seems a lot more focused on a ranged army than his first incarnation, which is nice. Mugs and Crump, the ability to shoot the, like, Grimm's main gun and the little knockdown thingy is fantastic. Both of them at the same time, great. The only downside is he can't boost it. So Crump, the one game I played with him, I didn't have much use of his traps ability, but it seems like it'd be nice.
I'd be really wary about, a gun that knocks people down is obviously great. But the fact that if Mugs dies, you lose Reform.
Yeah, so.
That's kind of bad.
It is kind of bad. Reform is just such a nice ability. Crump is actually the one who I see as being a little bit more expendable.
Sure.
But at the same time, like, I can see him being a little bit further forward with that large template you can put down. It's kind of nice. But, yeah. Otherwise, the rest of them, the gun changed, which is a big thing. It gives you free charges instead of +2 inches to, like, hit, which is interesting. The first Grimm rarely needed a speed buff because he had that. This Grimm, I think, will need one if you intend your beasts to get there a little bit quicker than normal. So, because he has really no way of slowing down the enemy, his whole strategy at approaching it has just changed quite a bit.
Sure.
So, that's what I think. I think he's good. I think he's quite good. So I think he's going from his original incarnation to this one is changing substantially. So, anyway.
All right.
That's my take.
Mortality's good. Don't know when I'll play against him, but Mortality's a really good spell. I would always bring Bone Grinders with him.
Good point.
Yeah, he definitely wants the extra range on Mortality, and maybe on Pursuit if he ever casts it, but mainly Mortality.
If he pulls out an Arc Node, I'd take that too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I do like Grimm's, you know, I like Mugs and Crump. I feel like they add a lot. Reform is really good on Grimm, who wants to be pretty close for Mortality. But doesn't want to be really close because he's kind of a squishy guy. Okay, his defensive stats are okay. He's def 16, arm 15, but he's not really mean in melee. If you camp, you might be able to survive them, but you're not going to be able to fight your way out. And you really want to stay dodgy with him. So, like, Reform and, to a lesser extent, Trapper, I don't know. Trapper can be really annoying, but you can also avoid 5-inch AoEs. He's strong. I like him. Nice. I wasn't sure what to expect, but he's strong.
Okay, yeah, so that's Trolls.
Alright, I guess I'll lead with Circle.
Yep, go nuts.
I'm going to go through in the order the book does. So we're going to start with Morvana. Epic Morvana. Holy shit. I think they released another, grade A caster for the first time in quite a while.
A long time.
Yeah, like, since Mark II came out. she's nuts. She's incredible. She's basically playing with two resource pools, which is one more resource pool than most other casters get, namely her health. But she doesn't care because she has Carnivore and Imperishable Conviction. Yeah, I don't know. She's going to be crazy. Just being able to reroll whatever you want, being able to feat and pull and regenerate arc nodes into the back arc of whatever you want to cast spells at. Having purification, which is something that Circle has actually kind of struggled with, is dealing with super heavy armor or super heavy defense, which is normally done via spells. And now hey, here's Morvana. And it's not like she's a slouch herself at anything. 15-15 with light cavalry movement and Fog of War, she's on a large base, but she's going to be hard to pin down. And then, offensively, she's not. Her stats aren't the greatest for melee, except she has Ram and Life Trader, two abilities which I have abused on Epic Scar on multiple occasions. And, yeah, she's nuts. And I dare you to disagree.
Oh, go ahead, Greg.
I was going to say, I don't have much to add to that. She is really incredible. I'm really kind of scared of her. I did not see a really like big power warlock coming in this book, but Epic Morvana is. I mean, she's got a lot of tools. She can play any kind of game that she wants, but she is crazy good at attrition. And hits really hard.
Yeah. I'll agree. I think she's going to take it. This is not a warlock I would use if I were just starting Circle. She, I think, has a bit of a learning curve to her because it's very easy to basically kill yourself. Not deliberately, but end up with too little health and the enemy can take care, like, just take you out immediately. I think.
Transfers.
Yeah. She does have transfers. I think she's good. She's amazingly good. I think one of the things is you can actually resurrect the Arc node because it has to be warrior models, and you have to have a unit to put it back in with.
No, you don't.
Actually,
you can.
If it's a trooper model, it wasn't eroded. It was just that the tactical tip was confusing. If it was in a unit, you have to put it back into the unit. But the trees are warrior models because they're not war beasts, and you can just pull them back wherever you want.
Oh, holy crap! Okay, I take it back. She's that shit. that. Holy crap!
Yeah.
I admit there, yeah. I was wrong. I was wrong, and I'm happy about it in some ways. Because holy crap. Yeah, she's great. Like, amazing. And she has a rather fantastic spell list. So.
Yeah.
So Purification Thunder Spirit is kind of nice. You have to damage with it, though. I mean, Prog of War, Concealment. Holy crap, just circle with Concealment. Yeah, that's just a ticket for pain for the enemy. I think. What was I going to say? The big thing about it... I forgot what it was. I think she's going to work really, really well with some of the new stuff that Circle's been coming up with, especially like the 8-hit box infantry.
Maybe.
Because they just got the rather nice unit of archers that we're going to get that are not bad in melee that I think would be great with her. And she's great with the Warpborn Skinwalkers, who just got a lot of support. So I think she's going to be straight out of the gates at a lot of tournaments.
I don't disagree. She'll be good with the Skinwalkers because the Skinwalkers just got really good. The only reason why I wouldn't want to stock her up with all medium-based 8-wound infantry is because she has imperishable conviction. She heals when friendly faction models die, which means you do want some stuff to be dying. Although, if provided that you're not able to carnivore your way up to a comfortable level of health. Also, I would just like to point out hilariously. You can actually transfer Scales of Fate damage, which is reroll, the D3 for a reroll. So if you don't want to take it, you can kick it off your Gorax.
Holy crap.
It costs a fury.
Yeah.
But,
well,
yeah.
The Gorax gets better when it's hurt, so there's nothing wrong with that.
Great. Wow.
Next, the Razor Wing. What a fun little guy. I like the Griffins. This guy's going to be interesting. The Kaya's are going to have a lot of fun with him from Act 2. Yeah.
Yeah, he's
Wolverine.
Solid. God, he
Yeah, so this is a beast that can, like, finally really use Amok. The Ranadon can kind of use Amok, and the Mountain King can't really use Amok, although sometimes the Axer can. But the Razorwing can really use Amok, and it's pretty awesome. Strickle's going to have a lot of fun with this guy.
See you later, Infantry.
Yeah, he is just murder on Infantry. The only thing I think that is a nice counter to it is that Strickle has a lot of speed boosts, and you can't really use any of them with it because he wants to have Amok up. So unless you're facing, like, a mess load of Winter Guard, which, you know, even then they'll probably have high enough def, but unless you're facing lots of really low def infantry, I think he's really going to want to have his own Animus on himself, which kind of precludes a lot of the boosted range abilities.
Mm.
So. At the same time...
Not sure I agree with that. But it obviously precludes the Gnarl Horn Satyrs, but besides that... I think he's going to be great with Kaya. I think it's going to be great either having him trample over a unit of infantry and then pulling him back with P-Kaya, or having him trample over a unit of infantry and then teleporting your entire army to him with P-Kaya.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. I don't play the Kayas, so I know that.
They like living war beasts.
So I still think it's a great addition. It's certainly better than the first War Beast, which was good, but kind of lost. It didn't really have... The first Griffin really didn't have a good, like, spot to in the Circle Army, whereas this guy definitely has a spot.
Oh, but Shadow Shift is such an underrated Animus because it's terrible. The Riphorn Satyr. Wow, another great beast. Sadly, a little not as synergistic with Ikaya as you'd like, because she's already giving free runs and charges, but... It's a goat that can actually beat stuff up, and chain attack, smash and grab is pretty amazing.
Yep.
And so is Bulldoze.
Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, this is exactly the satyr that I was looking for. I am well known in my dislike of the wolves thematically, and to a certain extent for the kind of inability to take a punch that they have got. With Circle, but this guy solves most of my issues with it because him and a Gorax is what, 6 or 7 POW 18 hits on something, and that helps solve a lot of Circle's pillow fistedness, in my opinion. So I think he will definitely, I will be getting him as soon as he comes out. Like, this model alone will probably bring me back to Circle for a while.
Cool.
So I love him. I can also have an all-goat Mosar list, which makes me happy.
He does seem really fun. Somebody actually pointed out on the forums, I forget which forum, but that just wait for Grail to start taking him, put Irresistible Force on himself, and then just, like, push everybody out of everywhere with sidesteps and sprints and his speed 7.
I would even talk about that.
But yeah, there's that synergy, for Grail, who I haven't heard a lot of love for, not that I've ever played against him, but that in itself says something. But yeah, this guy's just really efficient. He hits really hard, which is cool. I think he is, like a real legitimate competitor to the Warpwolves for Bruiser, and Bulldoze is just fabulous, as I will talk about when I'm talking about the meta.
I don't think he competes with the Stalker, but I think he competes with what your second Warwolf would have been.
Hero Warwolf, yeah.
Right. The Stalker really Stalker still, number 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is a close second to the Stalker when it comes to the ability to kick the crap out of stuff. And I think he's actually hardier than the Stalker.
Probably, although not Defense 14, /16 with Ikaya, which really drives people nuts.
Yep.
So, he does not have Pathfinder, so that's another thing he...
The Living Beasts don't.
Yeah, I'm not sure if he'll... How he'll work in certain lists. I think he'll be great with Mosar. I think he'll be pretty good with Kruger. I think he'll be okay with Balder, but may run into some issues.
Alright.
So, anyway.
The Tharn Blood Pack. I think they're too expensive and not great. I think they're paying a lot for something that can shoot well, but not necessarily better than what shooting... Circle already had, And if Tharn Ravagers were really great in melee, I think they'd be liked a lot more. And these guys are not as good in melee as Tharn Ravagers. 10 points for the full unit is kind of pricey. Especially since Skinwalkers just got a new lease on life.
Yeah, cool. I think they're okay. I don't like Tharn. I don't plan on taking Tharn. But the Blood Pack is... It's got Mr. Grin, which is that the lead model, which is
that's amazing.
So incredibly happy.
All of Circle is like the faction of people who are really excited to be here today. You don't see that in a lot of other factions with like the Gorax, the new unit leader for this guy. There's like, this is their day. If they, if you ask them what they would do, if they could do anything in the world, it would be this.
Yeah. I think the models are actually really nice. Like, looking at them, they're good quality models. They're proportioned correctly, which has kind of been an issue with Tharn. But I think they're great. I think as a mixed arms unit, I think Assault and Battery is not the right ability for them. I think Assault would have been better. I think the ability to, like, charge, like, after shooting is okay. Assault would have been better because it gave you more options. I think they're okay, but I don't know that we're going to be seeing them a lot.
They wouldn't be very good with Assault, because they don't have Reach.
Oh, right.
I mean, it gives them more... obviously it's better than not having Assault at all,
because
it gives them another chance to kill their target. But since they don't have Reach, it's like they Assault, kill their guy with the bow, and then if they're lucky, they'd be able to... they don't even get the Heart Token, because Heart Eater's melee only. I don't think they... Assault won't be very good with them, I feel.
So weirdly, I do think that they are going to be about Assault and Battery. For people who run them, it's going to be about... Not about shooting and charging, but about shooting and running. To reposition advance, do the Assault and Battery, retreat, or run across the table, or jam. I don't know how good these guys are going to be at jamming. The defensive stats are pretty mediocre. And it's kind of an expensive unit to just, like, throw down somebody's throat like that. I guess I can see it working. They can definitely work with Morvana being like, no, you all regenerate. Just, like, bring them back on her feet turn if you took your, like, free run to run.
Sure.
You know, four of them into melee and two of them around a wall or a house or something, whatever. It's the kind of stuff that I pull with Primakeda when I play her is like, you know, get a couple guys into a position where it's really hard to get to them, and then you can bring everybody else back. That works. So I don't know if they're worth 10 points for the full unit compared to a lot of the other really nasty stuff that Circle can do, but I do think that Assault and Battery has some play to it, and yeah, I think that a creative player can get good with that.
Oh, wow. I just realized they're 7-10.
Yeah.
Which means that those first four guys are crazy expensive.
Right.
Oof. Yeah. All right. Warpbone Alpha. I'll say it. Go ahead and say that he is the second best unit attachment in this book. He just came along and sort of fixed the problem that the Skinwalkers had, which was unimpressive offense. And the fact that that Rapid Strike is tactics rather than granted, it's just amazing. Sadly, he's 3 whole points rather than some other UAs. But he's really good, and I like him. I already like the Skinwalkers because they looked cool. And now they are cool.
The model is just really nice, too. Like, the Warborn Alpha model is... It doesn't pull what, like, the... You see a lot of stuff coming out, like the Bastion solo that's all, like, tricked out. This guy looks just like a bigger, beefier version of a Skinwalker, not just, like, a fancier, easily distinguishable thing. He just looks like a bigger, beefier Skinwalker, which I think is nice.
Menos fancy.
But I like him. I liked Skinwalkers, and now there's no reason for me not to take Skinwalkers. So they might end up in my Circle collection before long, too. So
yeah, they're good. This guy's really good. I know that Skinwalkers has some play with a few casters before, and now they, yeah, the Warborn Alpha just really fixes their offense. It does always make me sad to have, like, an 11-point unit of guys who only have one attack each, and since Skinwalkers don't have the durability that, say, Zatrati have, it's really nice to bump that offense.
Yeah, I think a lot of, like, on his own, he's also pretty good. Like, the Relentless Advance, Retaliatory Strike especially, is going to be something that keeps him around longer, which Blood Drinker I think is going to sometimes be important, but it's not taken for, but it's a nice little thing to have while he's still kicking around. So I think, he's solid. There's nothing really to complain about on him. Maybe 3 points, but you get a lot for 3 points. So.
Yeah. I think Blood Drinker can keep guys alive if they get jammed. Like, they can't be nickel and dimed down as long as they keep their own offense up.
Yeah. I mean, they're armor 18 minimum in melee, and Circle does have some armor buffs, so.
Yeah, them with Epic Balder is just, oh, God, that'd be great.
The only trick is going to be, you know, do you Blood Drinker off the first attack, or hope that you kill with the second one, too?
Yeah, because you have to end your turn to Blood Drink.
Yep.
Ooh. I see what you did there, Privateer Press. That is nice.
They give and take. The Woldray. I don't know anything about this beast that you haven't seen on the forums, dear listeners. So I don't really know what to say here. I haven't played it against it. The main thing I hear is that at least it gives something new to Circle, unlike some other gargantuans.
Yeah, I actually have a little more experience with it. I've seen it played. I played against it once in a short game. It's actually quite nice. I think it's really self-contained. The biggest thing about it is Spell Ward. Spell Ward on Circle hurts as much as it helps. It's a nice ability. He'll be able to do whatever he's going to do regardless, but he's really a self-contained model because of that and other stuff. At the same time, who's going to argue with Power 18 Fists? Circle, that's great.
They're 19.
Oh, Power 19 Fists. Even better.
We should buy the book.
With Reach, with Earthshaker, he's got Fury 4, but I think he will take the spot of, like, a heavy and has a hell of a lot of hit points. So I can see a lot of plays with him. He's probably my second favorite gargantuan in this book. I think he's good. I would take him.
I don't think anyone's really going to argue that he's not the second best gargantuan.
Yeah.
The problem is that there's a large gap between him and number one. Greg, your thoughts on the war?
All right, I think that the thing that actually makes the World Wrath work as a gargantuan and as a 20-point model is Druid's Wrath, the Animus. It's just a really great Animus. Gives spells an extra die to hit anyone within 10 inches? Yeah, 10 inches of the guy.
Yeah, but
So that's great for druids who don't always want to be rolling on magic 7 to hit with Force Bolt, which is a really annoying spell to have to deal with. And it is really great for anyone who likes to sling around a lot of offensive magic through those hateful trees. I think Cassius got a big boost with this guy. Because Hellmouth is just one of those things that can really mess with your opponent. And getting the extra die just to make sure you land it with four dice, even if you need to, because it's not a boost, it's an additional die, is really big. I've heard good things about it with Morvana, like P. Morvana, but I don't have her spell list. Really, anyone who wants to do a lot of magic offense. Prime Kruger also. Or Epic Kruger, even, with telekinesis, can really make some use out of this guy.
I think something also that I think people are just slowly starting to realize, Druid's Wrath means that it's for magic attacks. So it's not just spells, which means that this guy, taking Wold Stalkers, which their Arcane Strike is a magic attack, are going to get boosted from this. I think that really ups their game something, because especially with Concentrated Fire, having a much higher chance to hit, you're going to be getting that off a lot more.
Magic attacks aren't magical attacks.
Really?
Like, if I have an enchanted gun...
Well, no, it is a magical range attack.
Right, it's a range attack.
Right. Oh.
It's a magical range attack, not a magic attack.
Ignore everything I've said. It's
spells. Spells and only spells. And offensive animi, if one of those ever exists.
Right.
Anyway.
The good old days.
They've left a lot of wording in for offensive animi to still be around. Maybe someday we'll see it in a couple years.
Right.
All right, Greg.
Cool. So, Scorn. I am going to start with the model I'm most excited about of all, which also happens to be the first model that the book starts with. It's Makeda in the Exalted Court. So, one of the warlock units. She was given a little flack when she first came out, but I've proxied her a couple of times, and she works. She's actually really solid. The reports I'm getting back from the forums that I read and stuff are saying the same thing, that she's really solid. I don't know if she's going to be one of Scorn's go-to casters. She's certainly not epic Morvana level good, but she's tough. She's got battle-driven and two shield guards on the unit. She hits really hard with Vortex of Destruction and battle-driven, which gives her a bonus to strength, so she'll often be hitting at POW 17 because it's really hard if you have any ranged game at all to avoid getting one of those guardians shot if they want to be shot because of shield guard. And then her spell list, I have one gigantic question mark about, and that is Sunhammer, because I really don't know what to do with that spell. Otherwise, everything is really fun. She does Eliminator really well, I think, probably better than anyone else who has Eliminator, because she is kind of ghastly in melee and keeps the Vortex of Destruction up and just Eliminators right into melee with whoever she's meleeing, and then it doesn't scatter and all the damage rolls are boosted, and then everything dies and she gets, like, 2 to 6 more inches of movement, and, you know, a lot of people are reporting sneaking up on casters that way and just killing them. That didn't happen to me when I proxied her. One game I got her swamped by zealots, and she ended up doing ground zero to clear them out because that actually worked against them on their mini feat turn. And the other game, Caleb presciently had Runebreaker up, Mulk's Animus, which shuts down spellcasting. So I couldn't just, like, Eliminator my way through all his trolls. And I wouldn't have wanted to risk all those tough rolls, maybe, anyway. But she did really good in any case. She just, on her feet turn, she is really brutal. On any other turn, she'll slice up a heavy. She melees a gargantuan. Then pretty much anything can finish it off. Our melee is a colossal, really, because I doubt that we're going to see that many of the other gargantuans besides for the mammoth. We'll get to presently. But she fit together really well on the table, and I'm very pleased in general.
Yeah, I was on the receiving end, as Greg said, of that battle, and it was... I did really well in that game. That was a game where there's not much I did except for screwing up Epic Grimm's kind of crazy tossing around thing. It's difficult to use a unit first thing, but what Greg did, like her and a lot of the stuff that Scorn has it's really hard to actually do anything to her until she's right up next to you. And from using Losar, I can see Sunhammer as something that, like, if you wanted to sit back, and let stuff happen, and then wait in later in the battle. Sunhammer is actually really nice for that. Just because she's got a great control area. Well, it's not fantastic.
No,
but
she doesn't.
You're right.
This is why Sunhammer is a huge question mark for me, is because she has a different self-upkeep, Vortex of Destruction, that is really incredible on her. She doesn't have a 16-inch control area the way Mosar does, and she also doesn't have numerous ways to slow the enemy down so that their beasts or jacks are just grinding through it like Pillar of Salt, wold whatever is popping forests up and then grinning. That sort of thing she does not have. And so, you know, if anyone listening to this says, Sunhammer, I have found out how to use it, please post a comment somewhere on our blog. I'll read it because we don't get any comments and I'm super excited about all of them. Or you can email me. I have a pgrexy@gmail.com because I am seriously intrigued. You know, I want to make all her spells work. I feel like she has four spells, Eliminator, Ground Zero, Vortex of Destruction, and Trainwreck is the fourth one, the Bronzeback's Animus, because it's really good with her feet.
I have an answer for why you summon Hammer. If you're going up against Saren.
Oh, yeah, true.
She's not going to let you melee, or at least not first, so
right.
You may as well. You might as well cast Sunhammer, since
sure.
The alternative is walk up to or run up to a heavy with Vortex of Destruction up and hope that it dies before it devours Vegeta.
Yeah.
I haven't played against her. I fear to do so. I will say that there is a glaring weakness in the unit, and that is that her guardians have defense 12.
Mm.
So if I had Breath Stealer or Crippling Grasp or any nasty unit-wide thing, I would definitely angle it in onto one of those to hit Makita with it.
I actually did that with Epigrim. That is
with mortality.
Clear weakness, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Now, if I hadn't been just out of range of Mulg, I probably would have died there.
we're talking turn. Millimeters here. It was embarrassing. I think I gave up at that point because there was no way to prevent her from getting like right in the face of Grim.
Right. My plan, honestly, was to just kill Mulg and jam you with all my beasts and be like, you've got no resources left. try killing my bronze back now. And just keep her safe, otherwise.
Without a speed boost in that army. Oh, man. Oof. Anyway.
Thumbs up. She has Inspiration Scorn. I always think that Xerxes should have it, too, but he doesn't.
Yeah, it's weird. But yeah, all the Makedas have Inspiration Scorn. Which is great. My swordsman got annihilated on Grimm's feet turn, and I didn't even have to worry. Pretty much, there were three left. The officer was because he was in the back rank. The standard bear died. He's usually left alive because he is kind of a waving his flag there, no weapons.
I think a bushwhacker got him, and I was just kind of hopping up and down.
Yeah.
Couldn't kill the officer, but it could kill that stupid standard. He's like, I don't want to kill the damn standard. Anyway.
Half the time, I kill the damn standard.
Bloodboon is also, I think, a little underrated, but it's really nice. You used it. Bloodboon's a great effect.
Who's underrating Bloodboon? Holy shit. I mean, it's always good, and whoever has it.
Yeah. No, Bloodboon Eliminator is good. Bloodboon Ground Zero is good. Bloodboon Fatewalker is also good, because you can Bloodboon Anami. Like, free spell. And she wants to be in your face enough that she is getting it pretty consistently.
Yeah. I think with her feet, like, it's just, she herself can walk through an entire line. Just walk through it with the right spell.
What piece do you take with her?
It
seems like she has some, like, do not leave home without these.
Yes, she definitely does. So, Gladiator, because you want her beast to be able to keep up with her. She's going to be on the front lines. And you don't want a bunch of speed 4 titans trailing behind being like, read for me, Makeda. Cyclops Shaman. Do take the Cyclops Shaman. Her guardians are super easy to hit with crippling grasps and anything that reduces her speed or makes her suffer horribly on your turn needs to be gone. Needs to be stripped off. So you need Spirit Blade for that. Also, more friendly Animi is great. Molik Karn, I will say that this is the warlock that made me finally buy Molik Karn. I didn't own Molik Karn before actually this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that.
Now I do. And Makeda 3 is why. Because she loves Fatewalker. She loves, like, charging into the enemy, giving Vortex of Destruction boosted damage rolls to you know, or against, rather, anything that she gets into melee with, and then leaving. Molik is absolutely destructive with her feet because he's already got sidestep. You put train wreck on him, and he gains beat back, so he can just move around. Her feet lets you, when you destroy an enemy model, you can remove a fury from a war beast in your battle group or put a fury on her, and it's what lets her go nuts on her feet turn. Molik also kind of goes nuts on her feet turn. I mean, I did enough damage with a regular old Cyclops Savage to be pretty impressed. Molik is a lot meaner than a Savage, and a lot more mobile.
He went through an entire unit of Bushwhackers. He
killed half a unit. He got toughed out eventually because you have to destroy to keep getting fury. You made enough tough rolls eventually that he maxed out and sat there, but he killed half the unit and engaged half a unit, and that was good enough.
That's great.
I'm really excited. She's very different from every other Scorn Warlock, too. Like, even the more personal assassination-oriented Warlocks sort of want to set things up, you know, wait for the opportunity or set up the opportunity and then, get themselves going quickly and blitz in. Not her. She wants to charge right at the enemy, kill everything in her reach, maybe step back a little bit and then, you know, wait on her good defensive stats and extra transfers if you feeded. And again, because of Vortex of Destruction does actually provide army support, she doesn't necessarily need to make a lot of her own attacks to make the difference. So she can camp a bunch. Battle Driven gives her arm 19 as soon as a member of her unit takes damage. I think it specifies enemy attack, but...
No, yep. Scourging.
Right.
It is enemy attack.
Yep, it is enemy attack. So, yeah, she's really good, and they went a really different direction with her, and I'm really happy with it in general. Cool. So, yeah. So now we're going to talk about the Dagasaurus, or Reptile Hound, as it is more properly known, but I like Dagasaurus. It was pretty cool. It's cool for Scorn to get lessers, especially adorable ones. I don't know how the model's going to look, but I imagine this cute little slavering creature. Kind of much, much like a Shredder, actually, except not as good.
Well, no one's as good as a Shredder.
Yeah.
Right. The Animus is pretty cool. Takedown blocks tough. I can definitely see getting mileage out of it on the Dagasauruses themselves, and also on a couple of our Warlocks. Prime Hexerus, because he often likes to take an Arcanon, and because he has beat back naturally on his weapon, is going to get some mileage out of Slaughterhouse, because he doesn't like people toughing out on him for whatever reason. Any reason, because tough is awful, that's why. And Xerxes, who doesn't get overtake because Slaughterhouse removes from play, but he also does not like to have his brick jammed. And tough things are things that do that, but he's actually pretty good with his clubs. They've got reach. He's mad 8. He can kill whatever's jamming a Sotrati. They can move in front of him, and it works out. I don't know that a lot of other Warlocks will be casting it because Makeda, again, wants to be destroying things. Well, Makeda 3, rather. But the Hounds themselves, no reason not to do Slaughterhouse, especially if you can melee two guys with it. They've got Flank, another Reptile Hound. So you want multiples if you can afford them. They're 2 points a pop. They hit pretty hard with Flank, actually. You want to enrage them, obviously, for the free charge, and then they get you might want to boost the attack. Their mat is kind of 5-ish, but depending on what you're fighting. But Flank is good if when you get the multiples in there. I've had a lot of fun with Flank. with Dawnguard Invictors, who admittedly are mat 7, but is a really good ability. I think that people are going to find a way to use these guys well, to get some really good use out of them. They're like arm 13, but they can jam because they've got hit points like all lessers.
I'd just like to point out, they're pretty good for 2 points, but flank is a lot better on a unit, because if you take, because the entire unit moves at once, and then they all attack. Well, Reptile Hound 1 moves up and doesn't have flank. Reptile Hound 2 and 2 through 3 through whatever have flank. But your first guy is crappy.
Yeah, there is that. And I also actually thinking that, but didn't say it. But it's true. Reptile Hound 1 is going to hit a Pow 10. And he is.
Oh, with Enrage?
Yeah, I usually factor in Enrage. If you sniped out all my Pain Givers before these guys hit at speed 7, then you are really doing well.
Well, maybe you were using them on something else.
Maybe that's true.
I think the little guy is cute. I don't think he's any shredder.
Well.
I think he's okay. I felt this was kind of one of the weakest things that Scorn got. I think they're okay. I don't think they're really going to amaze anybody, but they've got a nice animus for certain warlocks. So I am not looking forward to Slaughterhouse. I really am not.
Yeah. So, now we get to talk about the spoiler, who is a Charactor, probably Rhinodon, although they don't say. He looks like he's got a Rhinodon-ish body and sort of a broken horn there in the art. But I am kind of excited about this guy. The reason I'm not really excited about this guy is because he's, still has got the Rhinodon's super mediocre defensive stats at Def 11 Arm 18, but he's got a lot of fun stuff too. What he basically did was went into Crix, stole a lot of their support, and then, hot-footed it out of there.
On a 10-point chassis.
Yeah, on a 10-point, yeah, exactly. He's got, black art, so he upkeeps a spell for you, which is super fun. I think the biggest thing about him, and the thing that's going to make him worth the 10-point price tag on a beast that isn't super tough and doesn't hit super hard, is Deathgate, and that pops out of Void Spirit. When a living enemy model dies within 2 inches of him, he doesn't have to kill it, but it does have to die. And Void Spirits are pretty good. Free Void Spirits are super fantastic. This is Mordekaiser's special guy, so he's got special issue Mordekaiser. He's also got an affinity Mordekaiser, and he gains Dark Shroud, which means that he suddenly is hitting as hard as a Gladiator, at the same amount as a Gladiator, and that's really good. And that all of the Void Spirits that he is popping out are getting boosted attack rolls, which is just really fantastic. You're already taking Void Spirits with Mordekaiser. Now you get more Void Spirits. You can jam with them. They're incorporeal, so they can be kind of hard to deal with. I'm really looking forward to running this guy with Mordekaiser, who looks like a fun character or a fun warlock otherwise. Yeah, and his animus, which I almost neglected to mention, and that would be criminal. It's Arcane Suppression, which is pretty good on it. Yeah, yeah, Lamentation. It also stacks with Lamentation because it has a different name. Yes. So if Naresh wants to have Lamentation and also have Arcane Suppression, well, then your spells are going to cost quadruple. It has been ruled.
Yes.
You double the double, and it's great. And I just am, I used to dread fighting Purification, and now I'm going to do that, and I'm going to be like, your Purification costs you 12. and it will still be a better spell than Lamentation and Arcane Suppression combined, but it will still cost them 12. Because
they can walk backwards into it.
Right, and with their, 14-inch control and still be really good at everything.
That's not the point. Although EVO does it at 16 inches.
Oh, well, still not the point. The point is...
Or just for free if she uses her.
Yeah. Oh... One thing I don't think you mentioned, I think it was ruled somewhere that they can only create one Void Spirit per turn.
Yes, the text.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Deathgate.
Yes, Deathgate. Yes, it'd be horrible otherwise. Yeah, otherwise
yeah.
it'd be really.
I quick looked that up because I was suddenly it's like, oh, just, you know, destroy a unit, and suddenly there's like a dozen void spirits. That would be terrifying.
No, no. If I could create 4 or 5 2-point souls a turn, I would gladly pay more than 10 points for this guy. But I can't, so I think it is worth 10 points. I think that some casters will like it more than others, and one of them is Mordekaiser, who really makes a lot of use out of all the abilities, especially popping out Void Spirits. So yeah, that's the spoiler. Any other thoughts on that guy?
He's cool. I would be very reluctant, however, to take him with anyone but Mordekaiser, just because Scorn already has like 3 amazing heavies that are vying to be included in sort of every list.
Yeah.
And he's like the definition of pillow fisted.
That is
like,
true.
Like, you thought Proteus was bad. He's not even 15 with his attacks, any of his attacks.
Yeah. I think he might be good with Epic Hexy, too.
Epic Hexy will kind of enjoy him. Epic Hexy, though, in terms of casters who really wants the heavies, is one of them. Epic Hexy likes to have a bronze back, definitely, so that he can do the move with Black Spot. He really likes Reach Beasts, too. I mean, this guy's a Reach Beast. Epic Hexy will use him because Epic Hexy is good with pretty much everything in the army. It's one of the reasons he is like considered such a good cast or a good warlock. I actually think that I don't know. I'll have to play the spoiler to know who will like him best. I don't know if it's going to be the warlocks who can make him hit hard, or if it's going to be the warlocks. Or if some people just really want the spell denial that Arcane Suppression gives. I'll have to play him. Mordekaiser will definitely like him because he hits like a heavy with Mordekaiser, and the Void Spirits are extra good with Mordekaiser. I do think that with other casters, it's going to be more about the Void Spirits. So if they want an extra incorporeal solo jamming and maybe creating some kind of ash cloud in the enemy's lines, sort of on the go, he does do that, but he also doesn't hit very hard. He's got brutal damage on the tail, but I don't like relying on crits to do very much of anything, because it never seems to happen for me, except for that one time when I got crit knocked down on all of your Satixis that I took over with Prime Hexeris on his feet. That was pretty great.
I still have yet to actually knock something down with them.
They
didn't immediately die.
Right. That they still immediately died when I knocked each other down with them. But it was fun anyway.
In that one feature, you got more crit knockdowns than I think I've gotten for the entire time. And I love them. They're like my favorite unit in the entire game. Maybe even in other games. Fuck you, Starcraft. crumbs.
I don't have too much of an opinion on him, but I hope to see him in a couple games eventually. So he seems interesting. He seems very tricky.
Yeah. He's probably going to replace the bronze back that I have in my Mordekaiser gun line. We'll see if he can actually replace a bronze back, because even with Dark Shroud, he doesn't hit like a bronze back, and I might need that. And also, I have yet to run the Mordekaiser gun line, but I will. You'll see. We'll all see. You won't, but you'll hear about it.
True.
So we can move on to Cataphractus and the REI right now. Who seem cool. I feel like they deal with the high def, low arm infantry very well. And they set things on fire, which is always nice. And they automatically set things on fire, whether they hit or not. Their gun is AoE 3, POW 12, so the blast damage is not going to do a lot. It's only range 10, so it's not super hard hitting, super long ranged. And but you get 6 for 9 points, and they'll definitely have a place, especially for casters who really want the help clearing out infantry the way Xerxes often does. And actually, if you take them in his tier, they're a point cheaper. his faction book tier.
Nice.
So that's cool. Yeah, I'll have to get some games in with them. I feel like they're actually pretty well balanced against Arcuarii because their ranged weapons are much better, but they don't have Reach or Weapon Master, which is often what you're taking Arcuarii for. And they don't really compete with Satrati in their role, or with Gators in their role in the various armies that like Gators, because Gators are awesome. So yeah, what do you guys think?
I hate them because finally someone has anti-infantry tech that actually works against the Tixus.
Oh yeah.
Like all your AOEs, I don't care, but set me on fire and they die.
Yeah, no, that's true.
I
really like that.
I would say that I was worried about them, but then I got the Sorcerer and it's just kind of like, eh. If they become a thing, I think, like, with the Sorcerer, the Trolls have a big kind of solution to them.
What is that?
Huh?
How's the Sorcerer protecting them from being set on fire?
I think it's the Creelstone UA that you're talking about.
Creelstone UA.
Okay, yeah. All right.
I'm sorry, I was thinking the wrong thing there. But yeah, the Creelstone UA is just kind of a big screw you to half of their effectiveness with Trolls, against Trolls. They're still going to be really good. And I think they're going to be absolute murder against KSA, which I'm really happy to see. Even though I did play Cotter, but it's been a while. So yeah, I want you to take them against Ben's stuff and watch the KSA burn like little funeral pyres.
That's pretty sweet.
Gotta hate the name of KSA. So yeah, I think they're good. I think they're, like you said, they're a nice niche. I don't know if they're going to be fielded too much, but when they will, I think they're going to be really effective.
So yeah, so now we talk about what I think actually is the best Scorn release in this book, which is the Mortithurge Willbreaker.
A.K.A. the Boulder.
The Boulder! Yeah, I call him Firelord Ozai, just because he is also a shirtless red guy. So, very similar there. I might have to model one of those Pharaoh goatees on one of mine to be more Ozai-like.
I think I will call him Fishface.
You do have the Firebenders right on the other page.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You should just model all of your... Anyway, tell me about the Mortithurge.
Well, right. So he is just a lot of support that I'm honestly kind of surprised that Scorn got. So I'm not surprised that Scorn got a solo with Beastmaster. He does have Beastmaster. It's going to be great. Especially on guys like Primorgul. I'm going to love it in Primorgul because he likes to send out missiles. Missiles like Cyclops Savages with like a 15-inch threat range that charge 13 inches right out of his control because his control is tiny. And the Mortithurge can extend that with Beastmaster. Both Morguls will like it. Xerxes will like it. I actually think that, I know that Epic Makeda will like it, although her feet turn doesn't really benefit, but she also has a tendency to, like, just sling war beasts right out there. So Beastmaster is a thing that a lot of our warlocks can take advantage of, and especially some of the strong ones like Xerxes, P-Mortal, and Epic Makeda are all strong. I'm most looking forward to it with Primorgul, though, to be honest. But then he's got three spells. One is Influence, and we'll get that out of the way quickly because Influence is not amazing. You sort of have to make an attack roll at offense 7 or magic ability 7 to have another enemy model make an attack roll against an enemy model that it can already attack. So not great. Will I cast it? Yeah, probably. The situation will come up. But
not looking forward to it against Smog.
It doesn't affect Smog, so don't worry.
Really?
Right, it's warrior only.
Oh.
Non-Warcaster, non-Warlock, warrior model.
Yeah, fine.
So, yeah. Then we've got Ancillary Attack, which is unbelievable in Protectorate, and it's pretty good in Scorn. We don't have a lot of the other stuff that they have, like, really good AoEs on our beasts, or the choir bonus, the Hymn of Battle, which lasts all round. So it's a good in Scorn. I'm running a P-Morgul shooty list that I'm going to throw a couple of these guys into and throw out a lot of Cannoneer AoEs, and when I pick up a Mammoth, I'm going to throw out a lot of Mammoth AoEs, and it's just going to be a lot of fun, get the ancillary attack. Is it good in melee? Honestly, I don't know anything that's going to survive the stuff that we really seriously throw against melee monsters like Bronzebacks, etc. You can ancillary attack melee attacks. I don't know that there's going to be a lot left to ancillary melee attack with, but maybe, you know, maybe you'll just have bad dice or something. But speaking of bad dice, we come to the real gravy of this guy, which is Puppet Master. So Puppet Master is a range 10 spell, and I can see it being used a lot. It can be offensive, but I would use it on Scorn models. And it is probably the best dice-fixing spell that's not on a Warlock or Warcaster in the game. You reroll any number of dice, you get to pick the dice from an attack roll, a damage roll, or a command check.
That is
and, cool. Yeah, it's good. And you pick when it happens, and then it expires, so, you know, one roll only. But it makes the Kree assassination a lot more workable, because suddenly your Rat 4 isn't as serious a drawback as it could be, because you can just reroll a bunch of those attack dice that are failing you. All the ones that are failing you can be rerolled. Any assassination run, you'll often want this up, just so that you don't, like, get the snake eyes and then it ends. That's happened to me a couple of times, and this guy fixes that. So he's very good support, a lot of versatility.
Cool. We all love him.